Mike Watt. His new CD is called Contemplating the Engine Room. It's a rock opera, isn't it?
Yes, it's a rock opera.
It's all about Mike Watt's early days in rock and roll, punk rock, and all the different things that have happened to him. It's also got some biographical songs about his family. And we're going to ask Mike about it here any second now, because Mike Watt is just wrapping up a show in Portland, Maine at the Stone Coast Brewery. It's located at 14 York Street in Portland, Maine. He's playing there tonight, and he's pulling the van around, isn't he? That's what my producer
said. Yeah,
he's
pulling the van around or something.
And we're going to talk to him any second now. But in case you've never heard of Mike Watt, he was the founding member, the bass player of the Minutemen, until the guitar player D. Boone passed on, and then after another year or so of hiatus, formed a band called Firehose with the same drummer from the Minutemen called George Hurley, and a new guitar player called Ed Crawford, who coincidentally is from Ohio. Isn't he from, like, Akron or someplace? Columbus?
I thought he was from Columbus, and he was credited a lot as Ed from Ohio, one word.
A couple of years back, Firehose broke up, Mike Watt went on his own, and now Mike Watt is joining us from the Stone Coast Brewery. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I'm in Portland, Maine.
How are things in Portland,
Tomorrow's
Maine?
Tomorrow's Northampton. I'm playing with Jay Maskus' new band because he broke up Dinosaur. It's called Wank Factor 7.
And you're playing with him now?
No, I'm going to share the stage with
him. Oh, you're like, they're opening for you.
Yeah, we're gonna do 3 gigs. And I just done 7 gigs with Jack Drag.
Yeah. Sure.
They opened up. And then after Wank Factor 7, I do 7 gigs with Skrull.
Really?
Yes, Ohio band.
Well, they'll be playing with you at Sudsy Malone's Monday night.
Absolutely.
This coming Monday.
And it's Toledo, my first Toledo gig ever after 37 tours.
You've never played in Toledo before?
No.
Well, trust me, all the kids in Toledo drive up to Ann Arbor to see you at the Blind Pig. They always do.
Oh, then yeah, that's right. Ann Arbor's right around the corner.
Well, welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
What's up? I haven't talked with you guys in a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. How you been?
Absolute.
You know, after just playing a gig at the Stone
Coast...
I'm a
focused man. I'm an opera man.
You are an opera man. You're like the Giuseppe Verdi of rock and roll. How'd that happen?
Well, I wanted to say, find a way to say thank you to the old days, D. Boone and the SSP and Georgie and just all that thing without it being some kind of Happy Days Fonzie shit
sort
of thing. And the magic of metaphor, you know, the boat is the van. And we are but sailors.
The CD is called Contemplating the Engine Room, and a lot of the songs are like Boiler Man
or really
In the Engine
one
Room.
Song. The Boiler Man is D. Boone, I'm the machinist mate, and Georgie's the fireman.
George was the drummer in Firehose and the Minutemen, right?
Right, right. And Firehose.
Right on. Why'd you break up Firehose? That was a pretty rocking band.
Well, Firehose, I was actually a Firehose longer than I was a Minuteman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things got a little predictable. And, you know, I'm a old punk rocker, and I think you gotta lift the bar. You probably want to hear that same song over and over again, but I tell you, the working men who make up those songs get tired of it. They got to have challenge.
Change is good.
Change or scariness, being scared.
So you are...
That you know you're alive. That's a Hemingway says your balls all draw up into you. You know you're alive. When you get in cruise control, when you get into autopilot, things are scary.
Mike Watt, your new CD and rock opera is called Contemplating the Engine Room, and you've been playing this thing for almost a year now on the road from club to club with a band.
Yeah. This is the third tour. I'm going to do one more, though.
And play the whole thing again?
I do a whole year.
When is Tommy going to hit... When are you going to hit Broadway like Tommy did? That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Now, this celebrates three people playing.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard Tommy, they changed the ending for the new version.
You wouldn't let him do that to you, would you?
No way.
Thing,
the ending of my piece is really sad. You know, the Boiler Man, he sleepwalks and walks off the boat and drowns, falls overboard. And I don't know about some long-lived rock kind of coda for that, you know?
Right.
That's why I call it an opera, because in a way it was a tragedy.
It's a tragic
but,
opera.
But it's a different kind of thing. It's a, it's not a commedia, it's an opera. It's over 24 hours. I took it from a Jimmy Joyce with Ulysses. You know, it starts in the early dawn, and it goes all the way around. Because I think everybody has all the emotions they're going to live in their life, and every day. The day is the primary cycle. So, you're happy, you're sad, you're bored, you're interested, you're full with endeavor, you're cynical. All in one day. Think about it. Morning, afternoon, night. And at nighttime, you fall asleep and you dream. And things get very abstract. And it's weird to play this in front of cats, because most rock gigs are like Nuremberg rallies, where it gets faster and faster, and everybody starts coming all over each other. And this does not happen in my piece. It gets slower and slower. So it's kind of a challenge for the cats. In a way, I can be a 40-year-old man that still is punk. You know, because the Berlin Walls are in our heads. This is, and the hardest lesson I learned was, you're going to lose people.
Mike, would you say
but
that...
But if you still got work where you can express yourself, you're a lucky man. That's what I say at the end. I'm a lucky man.
Would you say that Contemplating the Engine Room is going over well with audiences from coast to coast?
Well, man, I've had a lot of cats come up to me and said they were glad that I did it. I don't know if it's up there with the Third Eye Blind and the, you know, whatever, the Matchbox 20.
That stuff's crap. Don't worry about that stuff.
Okay. Well, you asked me one of those kind of questions.
But I mean, when you're at the show and you're playing it, and you get 5 songs into it, you get 10 songs in it, and when you're at the end of it, after 15 songs, are the kids and the audience, are they like, yeah? Are they like, yeah? Or are they just like, whatever?
No, they trip.
Yeah, they're into it?
Yeah.
You doing an encore?
Oh, I do like 5 or 6.
Right,
well,
on.
Damn. Thank you, Grant.
Who's Grant?
Respect. Grant is a boss here. You know, it's a pleasure working for him. But yeah, I you know what? There hasn't been a gig yet where he didn't have me back.
You just played
it. And you know, look, that's respect to the cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they kind of see through the phoniness of the alternative, and they know it's just a jive thing with words, and they want to see some real deal.
We're talking to Mike Watt on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You just got done playing a gig at the Stone Coast Brewery in Portland,
Absolutely.
Maine.
Absolutely. I'm doing 48 gigs of 51 days. This is gig number 24
in a row. You sound surprisingly lucid after having just played a gig.
Well, one lifetime is made of many gigs.
Yeah.
The sun rises, the sun sets.
And you're saying some gigs you're more lucid than others.
Yeah, but there's something very real about doing this piece, man. You know, it's not just a bunch of songs, man. It's a trip for me. I relive the whole thing, the beginning, the middle, and the end. You know, the Boiler Man and the Fireman are up there with me. And it's really, it's Jobiza and Bob Lee. And you wait till you see how we set up. Me and Jobiza are exactly looking at each other. I don't face the crowd. What I want to make the stage look like is if you're looking in at a garage and some band playing, where they're all, you know how most practice pads are, you're all staring at each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking at some mythical
audience.
Right. I remember once these Hollywood cats had me do some gig up in some benefit. And for the practice, we went, they said, why come up this room? And this room had one big mirror for the wall. And I would not look.
Mm-hmm.
I would not.
You wouldn't look at yourself.
It was Randy California, Ray Manzarek, and cats like this. And I would not look in the mirror. You know, life is in cycles. And I think... I don't want to talk about the good old days, you know. I think this stuff is still around. I think Slater Kinney with the Kill Rock Star. I think Ian still sells 200,000 records out of his house with the Discord. And these days are not over.
You're saying punk rock is still alive and well?
Yeah, as a spirit. As a spirit.
Well, not probably always
Green
will
Day
be
gig.
For that
it's
matter.
Not really a Green Day gig.
Well, do you think Green Day is just a sellout punk rock band, or do you think they still have the punk rock ethic?
I think they sound a lot like the Descendants of Buzzcocks.
Uh-huh. You think they're real?
Yeah, see...
They're popular. That's not necessarily punk rock, though.
Well, see, you asked a very deep question, really. Well,
what if you sold a billion records next year? What if you came out with a record that had a pop song on it? What if you got, like, Green Day? Would people be giving you, you know, the rack?
What if we could do what Tesla said and make electricity free? I charge up the earth, put a big field around the earth. Because Tesla said that the wires for electricity were like the railroad. And whoever owns the railroad owns us. And so he put a lightning rod in the earth and he tried to charge it so we could have free electricity. What if we could do that? I mean, why does the big dream have to be me selling 1 million records?
Well, I'm just wondering how you would react if people started giving you the crap that they give to Green Day. Once upon a time, Green Day was probably...
I've been getting crap. I made that wrestling record... And had Ed Vedder on it. And you don't know the hell I've got.
Yeah? What was wrong with the wrestling record? It was fine.
I liked it.
Yeah?
I really liked it.
Well, who gave you crap for it? Did you poke their eyes out after they did?
Yeah. All the top 40 ponytail, new wave, whatever, disc jockeys and this and that. And, you know, sometimes you need crap. Look at nature. You want a good crop, you need a lot of manure.
That's right. You need Madonna, you know, from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who's her boss? No one. She's tough. Lady's tough.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Mike Watt, who just completed playing a gig in Portland, Maine. And you're going to be in Cincinnati on Monday night doing
right.
your laundry and playing another
doing
gig.
Doing the laundry,
right here.
Drinking the bourbon.
Let me ask you a question
and
about your
delivering
band.
Delivering the peace.
Can I ask you about your band, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely.
You recorded the record, Contemplating the Engine Room, with a band that was Nels Klein on guitar, Stephen Hodgins on drum, and yourself on the bass.
Yeah. But,
and you toured with those guys, right?
No.
No,
only
you
Mr.
Didn't.
Hodges.
Oh, you did?
Yes, Mr. Klein had to help the Geraldine Fibbers. He had committed to them. Well,
they're not a bad group. They're
no,
pretty all
no,
right.
No, Carla's old friend of mine.
Right. But this time you
She's
got...
She's Pedro.
This time you got Joe Baiza. Is it Baiza or Bazia?
No, it's Baiza.
Baiza. Joe Baiza on guitar and Bob Lee on drums. Does the rock opera come off differently with a different group?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the difference?
Different people. What they bring to the party. But I'll tell you about Joe Baiza. Joe Baiza was living downstairs from D Boom when we started the Minutemen 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Joe Baiza, I share a lot with him.
So you're saying he can relate to the piece?
He's not a Nels Klein clone. No, he's his own man. He's a Latin man.
Yeah. Well, wasn't he in a group, Universal Congress of?
That's right. That was his band.
Yeah.
And he was Saccharine Trust before that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from the town next to Pedro, a harbor town called Wilmington. And he was in Germany last year, and some Nazis beat him and broke his hand. The German government paid for it to be fixed. Joe Biden's been through some hell.
Yeah.
But, man, he comes to he steps up to the plate with his piece.
And he does a good job with it, huh?
He's a sweetie.
Is there anything you want to say to Cincinnati before you get here on Monday? Before you rock our world?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, in the old days, you could never play Cincinnati. You always had to play Newport.
Right. The Jockey Club.
Yeah. Right? The whore town across the river.
I got you.
All right. Nowadays, we can't play the real town. And so, I think, thank you for Cincinnati to open it up. Mr. Flint still got his bookstore?
Barely. He's hanging on by a tooth and a thread.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'll tell you something. That dude's got Hollywood behind him and about $1 billion. I don't think Cincinnati has a chance with him this time.
I thought Cincinnati had Procter & Gamble.
Well, yeah, but Larry
How many
Flint,
millions
dude,
they got?
Larry Flint's big, dude. P&G's going down.
Procter & Gamble?
P&G's going down because they test on animals. And Chiquita's going down because they suppress migrant workers and, the banana farmers down in South America.
Yeah, so, absolute.
So we're and our baseball team sucks, too. The Reds have just lost 3 in a row to Atlanta.
Man. You know, the Heartland's got some heart.
You want me to have Larry Flint come down to your show? Let me see if I can get him to show up.
Absolutely.
Has he been to any of your shows?
I don't think so. He's got a building, though, on La Cienega on Restaurant Row.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Been there?
It's called the Flint Building. I've never been in it. I drove by it all the lot.
Yeah.
Going up to play gigs.
You like his magazine?
Don't read it.
Good for you. It's filthy and
disgusting. I still want it to have the right to publish it, though.
Yeah.
Man like me in the business I'm in, I need open borders, I need open minds.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean I have to read it.
Doesn't mean you have to read the filth and disgusting pornography.
I don't have to read Mein Kampf either, you know.
Right.
I don't have to read Generation X or whatever crap they're trying to sell the kids to buy Gap clothes.
Well, Mike, when you perform Contemplating the Engine Room, do you do it just like on the disc? Do you go song one right through track 15?
Yeah, it's one song.
It's a rock opera, dude.
Yeah, yeah. It's a piece.
Do you ever listen to, like, old opera, like Italian opera from
yeah,
the 1800s?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
What do you like about that stuff? I mean, it's kind of hard to get into with all the screeching sopranos and...
No, but you get to hear the guy talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
The story.
My mama's Italian. You got to understand.
Yeah. So you like Giuseppe Verdi?
Verdi's down.
Puccini.
Even that German guy in Mozart.
Yeah, you like him? The Magic Flute?
Yeah, he did one about Masons, you know, Magic Flute.
Yeah. Did the Masons scare you ever?
I took my crew to the shrine. No, they built the country. They're the first American punk rock band.
Yeah.
I took my men to the shrine they built for Washington and Alexandria, and it blew their mind.
Yeah.
333 feet high.
All right, well, We're going to play this song off Contemplating the Engine Room. It's called Black Gang Coffee. It's about a little less than halfway.
Black Gang is slang for engine room.
Is it?
Yeah. And there's an important book, if you want to understand my opera, it's called The Sand Pebbles by an engine room man called Richard McKenna. Mm-hmm. And in the book, the guys are cooking the coffee right on the motor. It's so hot. And all the oil and all the fuel all blend in there. And he binds his guys together. And he don't care about all that bullshit on the top of the deck with the saluting and all the fraud. He's there with machinery where you cannot lie. It'll bust you. It'll hurt you. If you don't understand its ways. And there's no portholes. And it's everything.
It stinks down there too, right?
Hey, thanks so much for talking with me.
Hey, you bet. We're going to try to talk as often as we can.
You know, don't let the meatloaf.
We won't.
All right.
Take her easy, and we'll be looking at you Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the laundromat.